lucky. They get to leave. And I only say that because when I was growing up with two parents who were ministers, I had to sit in the front row because I was that mischief child. So I wonder what would have happened to me if I would have been able to also leave. But I am called to ministry. And that's not something that one normally hears from a small child. And a lot of times, even now, it's still considered a very churchy word. And when I tell people I've been called to ministry, I get the, "Oh, that's nice. How sweet. Good, thanks." And yes, it is weird to say calling, but that's what it is for me. Because I've been called since I was a child to be a minister in this lovely denomination. When I was one, I helped ordain my mother. And by doing so, I somehow managed to get away from my father at my mother's ordination service, and I crawled under the pews. And it's really hard to miss a small child crawling up the stage trying to figure out where her mom is, but I didn't know the significance of what was happening. I just knew my mom was there, and that's where I wanted to be. So I did what I had to and got up there. And the bishop who was laying his hands on my mother, along with her mentors, picked me up, and I threw my hands over on my mom's shoulders, and there is now a great picture that was the conference photo for at least 3 years. That was my first big public debut. When I was 2, I did my first call to worship. We were coming home from church, and church in a pastoral family is called Sunday nap day. And after 4 services in a matter of 4 hours, my parents are usually pretty tired. I was not, and so I didn't understand why they were both laying on their separate couches and not having fun and playing. So I grabbed my stool and I grabbed my hot pink baby blanket. Yes, this is the exact same one. And I put it over my shoulders as if it was my stole, and I stood on my stool and I said, "Grace and peace to you, now stand up and sing." And that was my first call to worship. At 3, while most children at daycare were playing house and kickball and football and tag and all things that most children do with energy, I did funerals and weddings. My divorce rate's not doing so good right now, and I'm the reason a lot of kids got their mouths washed out with soap. Thank you, Beth Grove, sorry. But the best part of doing what I did in my call was, especially, I got to freak out my mom because they called her while she was at the office and said, "You need to come down here. I don't even know." What parent wants to hear that about their child over the phone? So she comes downstairs rushing frantically, and she comes into the room, and I, again, with my pink baby blanket over my shoulders like a stole, standing on a chair, had every child lined up in a row on the floor, laying down with their arms crossed and their eyes closed, and I was saying, "Dear we beloved, we are gathered here for this death." My parents may have realized they exposed me to death way too soon in life. But that's okay. But by 4 years old, I was laying down with my mother, and we were doing our nighttime routine, which usually consisted of a story, a song, and then our nighttime prayer. And in the middle of that prayer, I stopped my mother and I said, "We need to start praying for my baby sister, Taryn." My mom didn't know she was pregnant yet. Well, no, she knew she was pregnant, she just didn't tell me that she was pregnant. And it was kind of a weird moment for her, because as a minister, what kind of movement is that? So she brushed it off and said, "Well, we have to find out if you're having a brother or a sister first." And then I said goodnight and went on with my sleeping. Later on in her pregnancy, she found out she was having a girl. And later on, a little further twist to this story is that on my dad's side of the family, we go with Irish Celtic names. So we've got Timothy and Patrick and Darren and Caitlin and Tristan. And my mom decided on a whim to Google what Taryn meant, and haha, it means a young Irish maiden in the Celtic culture. Thank you, I'll be here all year. I won. And when my mom asked me, how did you know? I looked at her and said, well, duh, God told me. How did you not know? As if that was a normal thing for me to do. But I got my call. And for me as a child, that was normal. I didn't realize it wasn't as normal for other children, but it was normal for me. And so I knew you before you were born, and I called you amongst the prophets, was the Bible verse that was given to my sister because I got to name her and because God told me to name her. But it also became my Bible verse because my entire life I have been called to be a prophet in the ministry. Although I don't know if I'd go prophet, but you know, you can call me Saint Caitlin after I graduate, that's fine. I accept that title too. Technically it's true. I'm just saying. But we are all called to do something. And honestly, standing here in this pulpit feels really awkward. That's why I'm like grabbing the sides here, because the only memories I really have of the pulpit is I knew if my parents stood at their pulpit, they could see everything happening. And I knew if I got the glare from the pulpit, I was in trouble. And it was going to be one of those, you wait till we get home. Okay. Bye. But from here, I'm going to actually move because this makes me uncomfortable. But I'm going to, yes. Oh, this is much better. Can everybody still see if I start doing this? Okay. I'm one of those children that had too much energy growing up, and so if I stand in one place, I start fidgeting. But here, I can pace, and it's fine. But we are all called to do something. It doesn't necessarily have to be religious. It doesn't have to be with the church, but we are all called to do something. Jeremiah was called as a young boy, but he didn't want to be a prophet. If you were a prophet, good things did not happen to you in the kingdoms you preached at. I mean, don't get me wrong, I totally kind of get it. I mean, if somebody came into this church and said, I'm a preacher, you all are sinners, you're doing everything wrong, and you're also worshiping the wrong God, how well do you think that's going to go? Probably not too well. So I kind of get why, but it scared Jeremiah from wanting to accept his call. What child wants to think about being a prophet and even has the capacity to imagine being a prophet, let alone have an encounter with God that says, you are going to be a prophet. I have named you. I knew you before you were born. Yeah, I don't know about you. I'm going to run the opposite direction because yikes, that's scary. But eventually, Jeremiah accepted his call. He did everything possible to run away from his call, and he did everything to deny his call, but eventually he accepted his call. I did the same thing. I ignored my call. The last thing I wanted to do was follow in my parents' footsteps and join the family business. No, thank you. Also, church was for nerds, so I didn't want to go. But each time I took one step further away, I got one swift kick in the butt in the opposite direction and brought closer to my call. When I finally accepted it, I was in high school, and I did it at a conference where I had a laying on of hands from every mentor I've ever had, but also my mom and dad's friends who helped raise me as a child, and I had all of their hands over me in a laying on of hands. And I felt the presence of the Holy Spirit there. And I felt the overwhelming sense of love and compassion and encouragement and support where I knew, okay, I can't fight this anymore. I need to accept my call. Fine, I'm going to seminary. I'll do it. But as soon as I did, and I bit my tongue doing so, my joy increased, and my life was changed. More doors started opening up for me, opportunities. I was being asked to fill the pulpit more often. I was having seminaries and other grad schools looking at me for a degree and recruiting me to be a part of their school. I had my pick of the litter of opportunities for a minute, and it was fantastic. And I realized, most importantly, I was making less mistakes by just listening to what God was telling me to do. And I started finding a path and a direction to go on, a direction that was moving me forward rather than making me feel stuck or in one spot or even backtracking. That's what Jeremiah felt. He may have been stuck and he may have been pushing through, but eventually when he accepted his call, he moved forward. So now I ask you, what are you being called to do? What is it that God is telling you to do? And for those of you retired, do not think that that is your excuse to not feel called. Because even though you're retired, you're still being called to something. God didn't necessarily put an age limit on that. There's still plenty out there to be done. But it doesn't necessarily have to be ministry related or church related for that matter. Yes, my call is a very specific call. My call involves being a part of the church, and that's okay. But my call also includes being a part of my community. My call involves making sure that I call my mother once a week to inform her of what's going on in my life. My call involves making sure that my sister gets a note from me every week telling her how much I love her and that I'm proud that she is starting school this upcoming year. What is your call? Is it offering to take a coworker to lunch just to get to know them and have a conversation over a meal? Do you have a garden and you somehow are really lucky and you have all of this extra produce? Can you take it to the help center? Is that your call? Are you called to just lend a helping hand wherever your community needs it? For those of you who are teachers, are you called to be a tutor and help a child who may be falling slightly behind in school with the reading, or maybe just doesn't understand I before E except after C? Because I struggled with that for a long time. What are you being called to do? We are always being called. And like she said in her sermon, God will flip the world upside down if that means you will finally listen to what you are being called to do. He flipped my world. But we're called. We're called to be prophets. We're called to give the message. We are called, like Jeremiah, we are commanded to live in God's word, to show and externalize that love that God has given us to those around us through what we're meant to be and who we are meant to be. There is no age limit. There is no amount of right or wrong careers. It doesn't even have to be a career choice. I was telling the Sunday school, they let me practice on them last week, kind of running through my ideas for this sermon, and I asked them, have you ever played the game Hot and Cold? As a kid, have you guys ever played Hot and Cold? Okay, now I just feel old. Okay, 90s baby, sorry. The game of Hot and Cold. You have a group of friends around you, and you go out into a different room so you can't hear them. They pick a random object. And when you come in, you have to find that object. But the only way you can find that object is from the clues hot or cold. If you're getting closer, you're hot. If you're getting further, you're cold. Use that And remember that this might be God's way of giving you your call. And that's okay. Try new things. It doesn't have to be something that you already know how to do. It can be. We all have our gifts. But give it a try. Try something new. And if you don't like it, that's God telling you you're cold and that you need to go on to something else. If you try something and you get that little itch that says, oh yeah. Kind of like when I would crawl under the pews and try to tickle people's feet. That little itch. If you get that itch, that's God telling you something. That's God saying, all right, you're catching on. Let's get warmer. Pull you in just a little bit more. But we are called to love, and we are called to be a part of the community. But more importantly, we are called to be prophets. And we are called to do God's work. If you don't know what your calling is, are you listening? Are you opening yourself up to the vulnerability that God might take you in a different direction? I don't know. Listen to God. Open your heart. Try some things out. I volunteer to be the guinea pig if you need somebody to take out for lunch. It's totally fine. But try something. Do something. Make an active effort to listen to what God is telling you. That is when you will be rewarded. Amen.
Thank you, Caitlin, Pastor Katie. I wonder before you, well, as you're sitting down, this is a real big moment for us, for her to be connected with this congregation in that way. Could we pray for you? Yes. Why don't you come down here? Let's have a couple folks from the congregation. I don't remember, at the early service, they clapped for her, right? That's the early service. But we know Jesus never gathered people around those that were special and said, now everyone clap. Jesus never did that. But he would lay hands on folks, and the apostles and the disciples would lay hands on folks for healing, for prayer. So could we get a couple folks from the congregation to come forward as we celebrate this time and this moment, and we pray for Pastor Katie's time with us. Just lay a hand on a shoulder or lay a hand. We connect those prayers. It goes through other people. I don't know how it works, but God is able. Look at all these folks around here that are blessed already by your ministry, who love you, even though we are just now getting to know you. All right. Well, I thank you. This might be something new for you, coming forward and laying hands on somebody. And thank you for listening to her sermon that way. I wish you all would listen to my sermons that way when I do things. Gracious God, we thank you for Katie, for the call that you have placed on her life, for crossing our paths together, that we can walk together in discipleship. We pray that you would lead us to explore our calling, that we would be a support to Pastor Katie, and that she would be a loving support and a witness to us, teaching us about the good news. We pray that you would guide and protect her in her studies and her comings and goings, that you would bless all of her relationships, and that you would make us eternally grateful for her presence and calling in our midst. God, continue to show us our calling as a whole church and as individuals. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen.